morning and welcome to our celebration of joy service. Whoever you are and wherever you are along your journey of faith, you are welcome here today. Special welcome to our visitors. We're always pleased to have visitors with us, and we hope that you make yourselves at home. There are welcome cards in the pew racks in front of you. We invite all worshiping. Take a moment and fill it out. Place it in the offering. Pastor Carla and I will pray for you following the service. And if you have a special prayer request, let us know about that, and we'll include that in our prayer ministries this week. A few announcements. Several are printed. I won't read all of them, but highlight a few. If you haven't picked up your statements of giving for 2019, please do so today. We'll mail the rest out this week, but they are on the patio if you haven't picked yours up yet. And women's retreat, note that, women. Thank you all who donated for these special gifts brought today of food and clothing. We're so very, very grateful for your generosity. Next Sunday, we have a one service schedule. So the service will be at 10 o'clock, followed by the annual meeting at 11 o'clock. And there'll be a light lunch served, some food served. So come for that experience. We need everybody there together. This is a family of faith. That's why we're having one service. And then hopefully that'll make it easier for everyone to attend the annual meeting. So come at 10 and stay around for the annual meeting, which is at 11. The annual reports are on the tables in the back in the entryway. Please pick up one today on your way out and then bring it back with you to the meeting next week. The other notes there about reading the gospel together and Haven House, also holding up the announcement about the men's luncheon on February 12th at Camp Pendleton. Talk to Bill Hans if you need more information. And then the note about Haven House, too. If you have questions about how to serve, then you can ask Beth, who's right here, who's coordinating that ministry for us.
Jesus Christ, you are the light that shines in our darkness and dispels the darkness of our world. Shine in us and be the center of all that we do, so that we may bless one another, that we may be blessed, and that you may be the center of all. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Well, just a word about today. We have been in the Gospel of Matthew, yes, and we are encouraging you to continue to read and study in this devotional way, the Gospel of Matthew. And yes, Christmas is over. And yes, today we have the Gospel of Luke and a story that comes right after Christmas normally. So just don't want to make sure you're not confused or wonder if we have lost our 2020 calendars. No, we have not. So just a quick word about this text before we go forward with it. Today is an ancient feast, an ancient festival in the church. It's called the Feast of the Meetings, or the Festival of Candlemas. And it falls at this time of year because it's about 40 days after Christmas. So if Jesus was indeed born on December 25th, then that would mean this would happen right about at this moment in time. It's been celebrated since about 350 AD. And it's got a wonderful history to it, and it's a time, too, when the church would bless all of the candles for the year. A lot of candles in the church. And also a strategic place between the winter solstice and the spring equinox, a time when we are still longing for light. We're still looking for spring. We're longing for redemption. If you came from any colder climate, you know about this time of year, you are looking at a lot of vacation things for Tahiti, right? You're like, I got to get out of this cold, right? So this is an important thing that's been a part of the church history for many, many years. But more than that, today is an opportunity to honor, to see, to thank all of the Annas and all of the Simeons that are in this congregation. So, We read together from the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they, Mary and Joseph, brought him, Jesus, up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what was stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him which was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory and glory for your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and with prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. It matters. It really matters. It matters that you are here today worshiping God. It matters that you make this commitment to come and be here. It matters that you participate in Holy Communion, that you give faithfully, that we pray together, and that you reach out to those around you in this community of faith. It matters that you are present when our children are baptized, when they receive Holy Scripture being placed in their hands in this community of faith, when we have the rite of confirmation. It matters. And it matters that you seek God daily through prayer, through Scripture, through devotions, through silence. Everything that you do that invests in your relationship with God and with one another matters. Believing, of course, that it is God who first reaches out to us, who first comes to us. But everything we do that responds to that relationship with God and with others matters. Welcome again to the Festival of Candlemas, the festival or the Feast of the Meetings, the story of the Epiphany in Luke. In Matthew, we have the Magi coming from a distant land, these foreigners who see that Christ is the Messiah. In Luke, we have two elders in the community, two people that might otherwise be overlooked, may not have been given the honor that they deserved. But in here, they are the ones who get it, who are attuned, who see that Jesus is indeed the Messiah. And the Holy Spirit rests upon them. This congregation is full of Annas and Simeons.
Now again, this is an important feast. It's an ancient feast. It's placed at this time of year when many of us long for light. Thank God the heat has returned. Anybody enjoying the weather now? And glad it's not so cold? I know my dad from Minnesota is very happy about this. And this is a time, too, when we long for more of that light to vanquish the darkness. Not just in our world, not just in our temperature, not just in our climate, but we long for it in our own lives. For light to shine in the places where we're confused or overwhelmed, where things are not making sense. We long for the light of Christ. And of course, this all fits in so beautifully. With Christmas, December 25th, about 40 days later, we have this feast. It would have been the time of two events that would go on for Mary and for Joseph. In the book of Leviticus, a woman was considered unclean for a period of time after the giving birth to a child. Longer if it was a girl. We'll go into that later. But she would come to the temple with her husband to present a sacrifice and then be proclaimed clean again and able to participate in all of the rituals and rites. So it's about 40 days later. And because Jesus was born into poverty, they did not give the lamb that other people would give, but they gave two turtle doves or two young pigeons. That's what you did when you were poor. So she would have this sacrifice be made on her behalf, but the other thing that would happen at the same time is the dedication of a firstborn child, also in Leviticus. If you know the Old Testament story, there's a story of this woman, Hannah, who wished so much. Hannah is the same name as Anna, by the way. Who wished so much to have a child. She came and she prayed and prayed and prayed to the Lord at the temple. And then she was given the child, who happened to be Samuel, a huge figure in the Old Testament. And after he's born, she also presents baby Samuel to the Lord. And then she raises him and brings him back, and he does serve the Lord for the rest of his life. So this was something that was a part of the ritual. So they came to present Jesus to the Lord. Frequently, I mean, it's pretty similar to what we would do with infant baptism, bringing the child to the church to be baptized. Now, that's all well and good. The history and the Jewish tradition, the history and the Christian tradition is interesting and good. But really, it's what takes place during these regular, ongoing rituals, these day-to-day things that sometimes we're like, why do we do this anyway, right? What's the importance of coming to worship, Holy Communion, baptism, all of these things? Why do we do it anyway? They all have great significance. But have you noticed that it is frequently when we are simply doing the rituals and the rites of what we normally do, and we come to this place of worship, that God does something amazing? You meet someone, you have an encounter, you hear something, you feel prayed for, you feel blessed. Something falls into place, and often in a place and a time of worship. And it's also a wonderful text, because how often is it that we really do get to honor, respect, and pay attention to people who have a life of coming to worship, a life of showing up, suiting up and showing up and being here? How often do we really get to celebrate the cumulative effect of a life of worship and service and prayer and commitment to God and the faith community? You know the answer. When do we usually spend time talking about that in a person's life? At their funeral, right? So let's not wait. Let's do it now. And how often do we get to celebrate a female prophet, huh? There are only 5 female prophets in the entirety of the Bible, and Anna is the only one in the New Testament. If your name is Anna, you should feel very, very special today. Let's celebrate and let's honor a cumulative life of being here, of worshiping, of praying together and being a part of this faith community. And even though the words come from Simeon's mouth in today's text, similar words must have come from Anna, who confirmed that this indeed was the Messiah. This baby was the Christ. And I will note
that the words actually say here that Anna was the prophet, not Simeon. So I just want to make sure we don't miss that part as well. But as I read and reread the scripture this week, I just kept on thinking about all of you, all the Annas and all the Simeons in this congregation of faith. So if you'd like to, we can read along together. There was a man of Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested upon him. I took a little bit of time to look up these words, righteous and devout, because sometimes they have a judging tone to them. A person that's very devout, you think, well, then they're going to judge me that I'm not as devout as they are, right? But that's not at all what this means. A righteous person is a person who strives to do the right thing. And a pious person or a devout person is a person who practices the faith that they were raised in to the best of their ability. Never perfectly, but to the best of their ability. And the Holy Spirit rested upon him. Do you know that the Holy Spirit rests upon you? You are blessed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is on you. The Holy Spirit is dancing on your heads right now. And the Holy Spirit is living within you. There's nothing you can do about it. It already exists. So how do we live into that, huh? But we see this faithfulness in you. We see the Holy Spirit upon you. We see this in your faithfulness in attendance, your desire to speak the truth in love, the way that you reach out to the members of this community, your neighbors, your family, and those you do not know in the wider community. And we see this in your willingness to be of service, to care for and assist our young people, to support and nurture the ministries of this community, to pray for one another, and to bless one another. We have evidence of this desire to be a blessing to our community right here today. So guided by the Holy Spirit, Simeon went to the temple. It happened in a place like this. It happened in a place of worship. It happened in a place and a time set aside to worship God, to praise God. This holy encounter, this divine prophetic word happened during a time of regular worship and prayer. As one member of my family pointed out to me, he sees it every time when we are here in the circle for the celebration of Holy Communion. We receive that. We receive first God's love for us, right? God's sustenance, sustaining of us. And then after that, we pass the peace to one another. And we pass it to everyone. We've got some of our kids who are very good at making sure that every single person has been the peace passed to them, right? And you know them. You know their names. Or you're going to find out their names. You know who they are. You know a little bit about them as we all mix and mingle here together, sharing that love, that peace, that light of Christ. I know that all of us probably still have ringing in our heads that powerful story that Pastor David told last week about a retired missionary doctor who spoke that prophetic word to him about the wonders of being a Christian. And I think about an elder, an Anna, in our own congregation who spoke to one of my kids and called out in one of my children and recognized in one of my children the spirit of discernment and truth-telling that perhaps I don't always see in this child myself, but you see it. I think of all who participated in the Prayer Pal ministry we had a number of years ago, committing to pray for the children and youth in our congregation. I think about all of you who invest in our Sunday school, our day camp, our youth programs, whether or not you have a kid in that program yourself, because you want to show the light of Christ to them. And how important it is that we are all present in here for baptisms and confirmations, the giving of Holy Scripture. Your prayers and your promise to pray matter. And what about all those times we have these social events? We're intentional about making our social events intergenerational so that you can work side by side with someone of a different background or race or age group, at God's Work Our Hands or the caroling party, or at any social event, intentionally sitting with someone that you don't yet know and getting to know them, or stopping them at the end of service and say, hey, what grade are you in now? What are you doing? What are you up to? And finding out just how much we have in common. We see you do this, you Annas, you Simeons, and we thank you. Well, Simeon goes on praising God and saying, my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and a glory to your people Israel. Simeon's prayer recognizes who Christ is, a light shining in the darkness, a light drawing all people from all backgrounds and all nations. A light that shines into the darkness of our world and our lives, revealing what needs to be changed, what needs to be healed, what needs to be forgiven. With Christ at the center of our relationships in this community of faith, we can bless one another. We can love one another. We can pray for one another. We can be drawn together into this body of Christ. Simeon also prays this prayer. Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. There's a promise in this. A promise that after living this life of ups and downs, of tragedies, of triumphs, a life of trust and surrender to God, there is peace. The peace that passes understanding, the peace that does not make sense. My friends, you are the Annas and the Simeons. God has anointed you. You are. The Spirit of God rests upon you and you are a blessing. You are guided by the Spirit to reflect this light of Christ in this place, in this time, for this congregation. Now go forth and be the light of Christ. Amen.
Let us pray. Come to us as we wait in darkness, Lord. Bring your light. Come to us and fill us with your hope and courage. Enable us to be like Simeon and Anna, to dwell in your place, to look out for signs of the light, and to be ready to receive them with joy and thanksgiving. We ask you to bless us as you continue to surprise us by presenting yourself to us in such amazing, surprising ways. Bless us as we share now that light with the world. Lord, in your mercy, we give you thanks for your good creation. Help all of us to be faithful caretakers of the water, the soil, the air, plants and animals, all creatures, great and small. Lord, in your mercy, be with those who suffer pain or illness, the ones we name out loud and silently in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, keep this nation under your care. Guide our leaders with your wisdom. Make us who came from many nations with many languages, a united people, the delights in our many different gifts. Stir up in us a compassion so that we will welcome the stranger and show compassion to refugees. Defend our liberties and give those whom we've entrusted with authority the spirit of wisdom, that there may be justice and peace here and upon all the earth. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for peace, O Prince of Peace. Be with all those who make decisions. Be with those who are in situations of war and violence. Bring your peace, O Lord, through us. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, you hear our prayers even before we speak. Receive them for the sake of the one through whom you revealed your goodness, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Blessed are you, O holy God, you are the life and the light of all. By your powerful word, you created all things. Through the prophets, you called your people to be a light to the nations. Blessed are you for Jesus, your Son. He is your light, shining into our darkness and revealing to us your mercy and might. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his preaching and healing, his dying and rising, and his promise to come again, we await that day when all the universe will rejoice in your holy and life-giving light. By your Spirit, bless us and this meal, that refreshed with this heavenly food, we may be light for the world, revealing the brilliance of your Son. Through Christ, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. Gracious God, help us to pray that your agenda of shalom will be our agenda as well. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. Kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. We pray the prayers of our children. We're thankful for Pokemon, for family and friends, and we ask God for kindness, for food and water, and for peace. In Jesus' name, amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God, a foretaste of the great feast to come. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace until life everlasting. Amen. Receive the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you God's peace. Amen. The peace of Christ, the light of the world, be with you all.
And also with you.
Go in peace. Be the light of Christ.